God is always good, ain't he? Thank God for people. Thank God for people that love the Lord, serve the Lord, and do all they can for the Lord. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 again this morning. Begin our class, our study. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Let's pray. Father, here we are again in your house. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to be here today. We thank you for your word, Lord, that brings us together. We thank you for Jesus who died for us to make us all a part of your family. Lord, now we open the Word of God today. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. He will lead and guide in all that we say and all we do today. Lord, help us realize, Lord, that we do have a responsibility now as your children to live for you. And thank you for teaching us how we are to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been talking for many weeks now about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. So we'll turn back there this morning. This is the longest recorded sermon of Jesus in the Word of God. Jesus begins here by describing to his disciples some qualities that he wants to be in his disciples, those that follow him. There are certain things that he would like them to be like. Excuse me. And he's trying to tell them what they are. You read this passage of Scripture here. Excuse me. And he calls also for those who live these qualities, he calls them blessed. Blessed people. And he calls them that because God has something special in store for them that live the way he is instructing them to live. I'm glad we got an instructor, aren't you? I'm glad we have a guide, the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to be what we ought to be, to show us what we ought to be here. Also, each of these Beatitudes we've looked at so far today, all of them are a contradiction, if you please, to society's the way of life today. The way of life today has really changed. And we see as Jesus is instructing these disciples to live, it's very contradictory to what we know as our way of life today here on this earth, you see. But also, we see the best quality of these examples, of these instructions here, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself, the life that he lived. He lived the perfect life. He lived the life that we ought to follow, that we should follow. So, if our goal is to be like Jesus Christ, and it should be, to the best of our ability, the best of our knowledge here, we find here that the Beatitudes should be our challenge every day, to read them, to look over them, and try to focus our life the way Jesus is teaching his disciples here to live. And we do that, we'll find that. We also see the first 16 verses in Matthew 5 here. We haven't covered that far yet, but we will this week and next week. But these verses here describe a true Christian and their character, what they are, their character. We see the rest of the sermon from Matthew 16, right on through 5 and 6 and 7, all these chapters deal with our conduct, how to live the Christian life, our conduct, you see. So we see that character always comes before conduct. Jesus emphasized this in Matthew chapter 5. He's talking about our character. And we see here that it always comes before conduct because what we are determines what we do. What we are determines what we do in our life, you see. Before you were a Christian, you wasn't much concerned about what you did, were you? But since you have become a child of God, hopefully all of us are more concerned about what we do. Make sure we don't do something to dishonor our Savior and to bring ruin our testimony in this life that we live in. So we see here that character always comes before conduct. Now, Jesus, in these verses right here, in chapter 5, he tells us, first of all, he shows us that true righteousness inside. But he also shows us also that also sin is inside. So righteousness and sin is within us. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, the Bible tells us, you see. And Jesus is instructing us here this. So God looks upon the heart. He looks upon our heart. For there is where life's destiny is decided, from the heart. Turn over to the book of Romans. Life's destiny is started from the heart. Where we're going to spend eternity determines from the heart. Paul is writing here to the church at Rome. All of you know these verses, but to illustrate this point right here about how the heart is where life's destiny is decided. In Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 9. Paul says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine what?
Heart.
Thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, it's from our heart where our destiny is determined at. Notice in verse number 10, for with the what?
Heart.
Paul says, man believeth through righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see how the heart, by the heart we determine our destiny. We determine where we're going, we decide where we're going to go. You know, so it's from the heart that God sees that. There is in these verses, from verses 3 through 12, there is a progression of how we're to live, how we're to grow, how we're to be here, you see. We see poor in spirit, of course, is first, no doubt. We see here a person, when a person begins with his own sense of sin, acknowledging that we're sinners, okay? And then after that, we finally become a child of God. And after that, the results follow. So it's so important to realize that it's from our heart that we set our destiny. There are two pictures here in closing in this, in verses 13 through 16 we'll look at today. There are two pictures here that picture us in Christ, by the Christian in closing. First of all, we talk about salt. Salt speaks of inward character that influences a decaying world. Would you not say with me, agree with me, that the world is decaying today? More sinful now than it's ever been. And we see salt speaks of a character in a person to help with this. Light speaks of an outward testimony of good works that points to Christ. An outward testimony. Now our job, our task as a Christian, as we live in this world today, is to make our lives pure. Help God help us to make our lives pure like salt. This earth, that my whole back corruption in this world which we live in, so the gospel can get out. Less corruption, the easier for the gospel to get out. More corruption, harder for the gospel to get out, because men's minds and their hearts are wicked and they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. I'm thankful this past week we had an opportunity to talk to a young man about the Lord. And you know, he was very, very responsive to what we had to say. He was listening well. You know, he's had a bad background, raised up and all that. But he was open to what we had to say to him. And we talked a lot about him, brought scriptures to him. And before I left, I said, let me leave you this thought. What you do with Jesus Christ is going to determine your destiny. If you receive him as your Savior, you'll go to heaven. If you reject him, you'll wind up in hell. And I want you to realize that we love you and we care about you. That's why we're here to talk to you. You know, people need to know that today. People need to know that there is a destiny. I'm thankful today to know that God has settled my destiny many years ago. You're the soul of the earth. Look in chapter 5 in Matthew, look at verse number 13. In these Beatitudes, as we look at them here, our Lord is describing a good man in verses 3 through 12. He's a peacemaker. He's poor in spirit. He's not weak, but he's meek. He's merciful. He hungers and thirsts after righteousness. All these things are good characters in a person, are they not? He's describing a good man. He says, and as a result of being a good man, you will suffer persecution. If you're going to live right in this world that we live in, folks, we're going to suffer persecution. It's a coming thing. But also, he says, a man that lives right, a good man, can rejoice in the fact that he is suffering persecution. He can rejoice in the fact that he is suffering persecution in this world in which we live in. He describes and witnessed Christ's disciples to bear the world. The disciples of Christ were to bear witness in this world, to be who they are, his children. In these verses, he shows us the right kind of men that have an influence in this world that we live in, you see. Here we see two things. We see an obligation and also a responsibility that all men have, as Christians especially. We have an obligation, we have a responsibility here. Now, he does not say in verse 13, it would be nice if you were. But he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. We must recognize who we really are in this world in which we live, a Christian. Now, he calls us the salt of the world, this implies to us that the world is decaying. The world is full of sin. Therefore, the world needs to be corrected. The earth is divorced from heaven. The earth is cleanly divorced from heaven. If we are the salt of the earth, then the world must be in a process of decaying. And it is. Salt doesn't cure corruption. Salt doesn't cure corruption. But also we see it can prevent it spreading. It can prevent it from spreading wherever it is. If there were no Christians in the world today, can you imagine what the world would be like? All it would be corruption. Corruption. Everywhere you go. Well, thank God today you can go to the grocery store, you can go to a few places in the world today, and you begin to talk to people and you'll find out there's some more Christians out there that love God like you do. This world is not completely without Christians now. But can you imagine what it would be with no Christians in it? It would be a corrupt place to live in, you see. See, one good Christian in a workplace can keep down corruption. Those of you that have worked in the public or working in the public, when people find out you're a Christian, you realize some things. Sometimes you may go into your office, you may go into your snack room, whatever you want to call it, and people may be in there doing things that maybe you wouldn't do. Have you ever done this? You walk in and somebody said, we've got a touchdown, so-and-so is here. I mean, it happens like that. Because we see here, one good Christian is so important. Don't think that your life is in vain as a Christian, folks. No matter where you go, what you do, your life can count for Jesus Christ. People want to see us. We see here, sometimes we realize that we're not having the influence described in verses 13 and 14 about Christians being the salt and being the light. Because there are so many of us, we're not following verses 3 through 12. We're not the disciples that Jesus said we ought to be. We're not like that. So this would happen. Christians sometimes today, we seem like we have more trouble among ourselves than the worldly people do. God help us to be with that way, not be like that, you see. So what are we talking about? We're talking about salt today. Verse number 13, let's read it. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Salt. How does salt in the life of a Christian coordinate with an unbeliever? If you look up the word salt in that text right there, that word salt literally means caution. Caution. You know, you go down here to the stoplight. There's a red light, there's a yellow light, there's a green light. What does that yellow light tell us? To do what? Caution. You're fixing to stop, okay? You know, it always goes from green to caution, right? Then red. Green, caution, then red. And when that light is yellow, we're supposed to be looking out, looking out. Now, we see salt is very important here. We'll get to this in just a minute. We know the offerings in the Old Testament were all seasoned with salt. They were given that way. In Leviticus, we see that. Salt is a good symbol of God's activity in a person's life. Salt. We see here, it penetrates, it preserves, and it heals us. Salt in our life. I'm talking about salt. I'm talking about good judgment in our conduct in our life. Good judgment, good judgment in our conduct in our life, you see. We see God wants us to be active. God wants to be active in our life. And he does want to be. So we need to let him preserve our lives from evil around us and sins and our shortcomings that we have in our life. So we see salt. What does it illustrate? It illustrates in your life and my life, when we're around unbelievers, it illustrates to them you need to take caution. You need to take caution. Just like when you witness to somebody and you're trying to tell them they need to get saved. See, we're setting a caution to them. If you don't get saved, you're going to spend eternity where you don't want to go. It's a caution. The saltness in our life as a Christian, you see. We also see in Matthew, turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We're looking at what salt illustrates. It illustrates a caution to lost people that are around us. If salt is in our own lives, like it ought to be. In Mark chapter 9, look at verse number 50. Salt is what? It's good. But if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, he says. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Have salt within yourselves and peace one with another, you see. Jesus uses salt to illustrate something to us here that should be found in his people. We see, first of all, Jesus, just as salt today, when used in the sacrifices, recalled God's covenant with his people, we see we should remember God's faithfulness to us. God's faithful to us. Also, we see just as salt changes meat's flavor, we also realize that we should make a difference in the flavor of the world we live in. And we have to live the Christian life for that to happen. We have to be what we say we are, a child of God. Also, we see just as salt preserves food from decay, and it does, we should counteract the more decay in our society. Again, may God help us to realize this. Salt is very important. Christians as salt. Christians as salt. In Luke chapter 14, verse 34, the Bible says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Salt can lose its flavor. You know that? Salt can lose its flavor. When salt gets wet and then dries, it has no flavor. It's good for nothing, really. And therefore, we see that we as Christians are not to blend into the world and avoid the cost of standing up for Christ. Don't blend into the world. When you blend into the world, you're losing your saltness. You're losing your effectiveness in the world. So just as salt flavors and preserves food for us, we are to preserve the good in this world as children of God. Encourage Christians. That's what I'm talking about, preserving the good. Encourage one another. Help keep it from spoiling and bringing new flavor in life. The world, God help us. This requires to live the life we ought to live. It requires planning. It requires willing sacrifices. And it requires also a commitment to be the salt that God wants us to be in the world that we live in today. Being salty in this world, what I mean by being salty, is being one to help others to see Christ in you and wanting to be saved also. As a caution to them if they're not. Being salty is not easy. But if a Christian fails in this function, he fails to represent Christ. Right here we said in verse 5, chapter 5, Matthew, verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. And we might not understand quite what he's talking about here, but we know we're to be the salt of the earth to represent Christ. We're to be one that people are going to look at as somebody different in this world, in their life, in how they live their life. It's very, very important. So we see here the Christian life. We're to be the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. Now, let's look at the Christian influence as salt. Our influence as salt. How is this going to happen? Okay, I'm to be salt, the salt of the earth. What kind of influence is this going to have? First of all, we see that salt is pure, isn't it? Genuine salt is pure. We see sodium and chloride. That's what salt is made of. And salt, my friend, is a miracle itself. Salt itself is a miracle. We see here, salt is pure. Now, how does this relate to my life as a Christian? First of all, the Christian is to be an example of purity. Purity. That's free, okay? We see, Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. Free. The Christian life is to be one of purity, one of purity. Did you realize the world expects more out of us as a Christian than they do non-Christians? The world looks at you, the world looks at me, and they expect more out of us than they do somebody that's not saved. Because someone that's not saved can do something wrong, and it's passed off, right? But when a Christian does something wrong, oh, it's questioned, isn't it? It's questioned. And people say, look, I thought you were a Christian, right? So we see, first of all, salt is pure. And we are to be pure as a believer. Now, our attitude as a believer should not be, how much can I sin and still go to heaven? It shouldn't be that way. Our attitude should be, how much like Christ can I be on earth and live for him? Then our lives will count for him. How much can I live for him, you see? In Psalm 17, verse 15, the psalmist wrote this, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, you see. So first of all, salt is pure. Secondly, we see that salt cleanses. It cleanses. Salt will cleanse. You ever brush your teeth with salt? Anybody? All of us have, probably sometime or another. Have you brushed your teeth with baking soda? Okay? Some of you just ain't never brushed your teeth, right? But we all do things like that, you see, to cleanse ourselves, you see. We should be the kind of Christian whose presence makes a difference for unbelievers. If unbelievers are not troubled when we're around them as Christians, our life is not what it ought to be. They should be disturbed. They should recognize that person is different. That person, not that we have to say we're Christians, but that we are that example. We are what we say we are. We are what we say we are, you see. So salt cleanses. Did you know enough of the right kind of Christians in any given place can cleanse it? Oh, I wish there were more Christians in the world today, don't you? We need Christians today. We need Christians to stand today. We need Christians to be accounted today as the fact that they are Christians, you see. So salt is pure. Salt cleanses. What else about salt? We know that salt seasons. I like salt on my potatoes and my vegetables, don't you? It seasons things to make it better, you see. It changes the flavor of things. We Christians also should have a seasoning influence among people that we're around. We should influence people in a good way, you see. Listen, it doesn't take much salt to season, does it? Not much at all. Likewise, as a Christian, you don't have to be a theologian to be an influence to somebody. Just be kind and tell people what God's done for you. Just a little bit of a season in the world will change the world that we live in. So we see salt seasons also. Salt has a seasoning influence. It makes things so much better. And you know the other thing about salt? Salt makes its presence known. You know when things are in, salt is in the food to make it better, don't you? Have you ever tried to eat something that wasn't seasoned? Yes, we all have. So salt makes its presence, doesn't it? Wherever it is. Likewise, we as God's children, if we are the salt of the world, we're going to be known where we are. We're going to be identified by our countenance, our actions, what we do, what we say. All these things are important, you see. So salt also seasons things. As the salt of the earth, Christians are to make their presence we're to make our presence known, see, in the life that we live in. People should be able to tell that we're Christians. People should be able to tell that we're Christians, you see. So we see that salt is pure. It cleanses. It seasons. It has a seasoning influence. Salt's presence is made known. Is made known. Also, salt makes one thirsty. Someone says you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink, right? That's true. But someone said also that if you give him some salt, it'll make him thirsty and he'll drink. Salt is so important. Salt is so important in our lives, you see. We can make the world thirsty for the living water if our lives is what they ought to be. That living water, that water that's flowing well within our bosom, you see, that we find here. How do we live our life? Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Our character, this is what we ought to be. This determines what we do. Our character does. We should be so salty that makes the world thirsty for the water of salvation. The water of salvation. Then did salvation quench you? It did me. It satisfied me. It satisfied the longing in my heart, in my soul, when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And therefore, I'm glad today to know that. So sin makes, salt makes one thirsty. Another thing salt does, salt must be spread around. Salt in a shaker don't do anybody any good, does it? It can be sitting on the table and you have no seasoning in your food. As long as that salt's in that shaker, it's not going to change the flavor of that food, is it? You've got to pick that shaker up and shake it, don't you? On what you want it on. And then it makes a difference. And then it makes a difference, see. Don't be ashamed of Christ, folks. Speak up. Get out of the pepper shaker. Get out of the salt shaker. Speak up in this world in which we're living in, see. People want to hear. People need to hear that Jesus loves them, that Jesus will save them, you see. So get out of the salt shaker, you see. Don't be ashamed to witness. Don't be ashamed to pass out a tract to tell somebody about the Lord, you see. God help us as Christians today. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. He says, but If the soul has lost its Savior, wherewith shall it be sorted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast down and to be trod under foot of men. That don't mean you can lose your salvation, but you can lose your influence. You can lose your influence if we're not what we ought to be. We don't stand for Christ, you see. We also see that we're to let salt get into the world through us. So salt in the shaker will do nothing. It will do nothing. We also see sometimes that salt irritates. Have you ever had a cut on your hand and you got some salt on it? Boy, it burnt, did it not? For a few minutes, but it passed. Sometimes salt irritates. Sometimes we get around people that are lost, don't want you around them. You know why? Because you disturb them. It brings conviction in their heart, in their life, that they're not what they are to be. We must realize, though, people, we can't please everybody. We're not here to please everybody, are we? We're here to please our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, you're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth, you see. The position we take may appear to be against someone. But we are for God and for God's word, are we not? We have to be for God and for God's word. May we keep standing for Christ, the Bible, and what is right. May we keep standing for the Bible and for what is right. Again, being salty is not easy. It's not easy. But if we're to function as Jesus says we are to be salty. We're to be salty. He tells us that. If we don't, we're going to fail to do what he asks us to do, to be the salt of the earth. He wants us to be the salt of the earth, you see. You're the salt of the earth. Remember, what we are determines what we do. What we are determines what we do. If we're Christians, we're to live a Christian life. Amen? Live a Christian life. Salt is to resist decay. Salt is to resist decay. Salt in your life, spiritually speaking now, resists decay. Decay can't be around you. It won't like to be around you, you see. We see sometimes that salt is a miracle because it helps to stop decay from spreading. Likewise, we see similar God in his love poured out his mercy in us to prevent us from going to hell and becoming a child of God. I'm glad today for God's grace, aren't you? It's a miracle. We're now regenerated people. We're on the way to heaven. And our lives are going to our lives account for him. So may the Lord help us realize today, as a child of God, Jesus says in Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. Speaking about our character, what we are. May the Lord help us. Next week, we're going to conclude with verse 14, 15, and 16. My time of teaching, we're going to be talking about light. We're to be the light of the world. The salt of the earth and the light of the world. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our example. Thank you for being our teacher. Lord, in how we are to live our life. You've given us the direction. You've given us the word to go by, to live by. And God, help us. We know we can't do it ourselves, but Lord, with your help, God, help us to live for you. Father, bless now the remaining of this service today here in your house. May you have your will and way. May somebody be saved, and may you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.